Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm still trying to learn how to tell time, folks. For some reason, I had a hard time last hour, and here I am, you know, still trying to make a 12 into a 7. I don't know what's going on. I think it must be early onset, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure, but I think it may be. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm pretty sure about that. I think that's accurate. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm the guy who shows up here every day. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I need a break, huh? I'm just punchy, I guess. Maybe that's what it is. But Joan's gonna redeem me. Joan Pride is here, ladies and gentlemen. She'll redeem me and pull my bacon out of the fire. She always can be counted on to do that. Joan, as you know, is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, help me.
Pull your bacon out of the fire.
Welcome back.
A few metaphors.
Welcome back. No, that's a great guy term. That's a great guy metaphor. That's a sports kind of metaphor. See,
military
kind of a military metaphor kind of thing. You know?
Okay.
Anyway, it's good to have you back, Joan. I know you sound like you're so excited to be here.
Always.
Hey, Joan. The lead story this week in the Kiplinger letter is about regulations, and you know I want to stick something in here that a little statistic in here at the beginning to kind of put some things in perspective, because we're going in the wrong direction, I think, in some of this. When I started doing my show, the Office of Advocacy at the SBA estimated that it costs $6,000 per employee per year for a small business owner to comply with regulation, all the regulations that they had to do. It only costs a big company $3,000 per employee per year.
Okay.
So we were more than double. Recently, those numbers have increased so that now I think it's like $7,500 for a small business to comply with all the regulation.
How
that happened. But that was before, Joan, all of this stuff that you guys are reporting on this week.
But you had 8 years of a Republican administration. How did that happen?
No, you're right. I'm telling you, it's not. Joan, you've heard me say before.
Yeah.
We now know that the big government party is not Republican or Democrat. It's the one that's in power.
The one that's in power. Yeah.
I mean, we've learned that a long time. I think I may have told you. I had a professor in college, one of my first professors, said, you know, there's not a nickel's worth of difference in any of them. And as an 18-year-old, that was blasphemy to an 18-year-old, but an 18-year-old who grew up with the picture of FDR right next to Jesus Christ, you know.
Right.
That,
right. Right.
And so that was blasphemy, but I think he was right.
Yeah.
And so it's gotten out of hand, and Joan is going to get out of hand. You guys point that out, and you're talking about here's a very important point that I think that you guys make, and I'm going to read this first sentence. Tough new financial regs on Congress and the White House, worked together to reform securities laws until the meltdown. Policymakers assumed markets would self-correct. Isn't that what Mr. Greenspan thought?
Yes, I believe so.
Markets would self-correct.
Yeah.
And so, what do we think now, Joan?
Well, we're afraid that they can't. We say now they know better, but we do say we can't necessarily prevent future bubbles. But they want to try to, I guess, minimize them to the extent that they can.
I think what they're going to try to do, Joan, is look and see where would be the tipping points? Where would be the little indicators? Where are the places where the leverage could get out of hand?
Yeah.
And stick some kind of a flag or a speed bump or something in there, right? Is that what
right.
they're trying to do?
I think so, yeah.
So some specific things they want to do, Joan, is obviously a lot more transparency. And, Joan, that transparency is not a bad thing, is it?
Oh, gosh, no. I think we really need it.
Well, and what they had hoped was that we had enough regulation and regulators in place, and as a lot of them believe, that the market would be transparent for its own benefit, for its own sake.
Right.
But now we know that that's not necessarily the case. So they're going to have to impose some transparency, which, Joan, will come in the form of sunlight, really, if you think about it. I mean, what they want to do is shine more light on the activity.
Right. We say if it's a powerful disinfectant, obviously transparency would be.
There's
to
no,
show up bad practices before they get out of hand.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. I don't know how long it will last, but I think behavior will be more scrutinized by the players than it has been. I think where in the past, Joan, a lot of activity was given a wink and a nudge, you know, a wink, wink, not nudge,
right.
Nudge, and I think maybe that'll be less, permitted in the future. I think,
right.
Again, 20 years from now, maybe it'll get out of hand again, but I think more people will say, you know, hey, guy, what are you doing there? Don't you know that that's what got us into this trouble last time?
Exactly.
I think I'd like to think that there'll be more of that, but there are some things coming, Joan, and now, I don't understand the derivatives thing. Do you?
No, gosh, no.
But the pension thing, some of these other things, I kind of get this. The pension funds, Joan, a lot of the pension funds, especially foreign pension funds, soaked up these toxic assets, didn't they?
Right.
And that created a lot of problems, didn't it?
Exactly.
We've heard about the little township in Finland or something like that.
It made like the whole country, but certainly townships too.
Yeah, Iceland. Of course, Iceland was part of that, and
right.
The whole country of Iceland is basically
right.
Failed, bankrupt. But here's another one. There's going to be more scrutiny on insurers, Joan, and I don't think I understand the federal charter. Application, do you?
Well, I think right now you can't. There is no such thing as a federal insurance charter. It's
right. Like a bank, like a federal bank charter.
Right. Right now, insurance companies are only chartered through the states, and that's a pretty amazing thing if it were to happen, because there's been fights over that for decades.
Well, and especially since these insurance companies do business all across the country and around the world. And I've got a point that I want to make about the insurers when we come back along these lines, and we'll do that after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. Here's Chicago to take us out. Bit of Stones bringing us back. 23 after, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. We built it for you. Check out my newsletter. You can see a sample there. We'll email it to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. Just you can subscribe there. Also, my blog, you can subscribe to it, or just go back and check it out whenever you get a chance. My most recent post is about cash and the fact that cash used to be king, now it's the emperor. And so you can check that out and leave a comment if you get a chance. Some of you have been doing that. I appreciate it very much. My knowledge base, AskJim.biz, also the archives of past shows. Use all those to your advantage, I'm looking forward to being able to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful in your small business. Joan Pride is our guest, and she is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about regulations, Joan. We're talking about the increased regulations. One of the things that you guys point out, that insurers are going to be getting increased scrutiny, and a lot of, you know, I think, Joan, a lot of people wonder why an insurance company could get itself into a bind over toxic assets, but what they probably don't realize is an insurance company, by definition, finds itself with a lot of cash.
And they need to invest it and get a return that's higher than the claims that they pay out.
Bingo. Or
I'm an insurance expert.
I know you are. I know you are. So tell us how that works. Tell us how things go wrong.
Well, they make dumb investments.
What if they bought if they bought those assets like AIG?
Right.
If they bought those toxic assets, then, and see, they've got certain requirements. They've got capital requirements,
right,
that they have to maintain as safety backups for the obligations that they could potentially have. Right.
Right. That
certain
makes
capital
sense.
Requirements, and right. So if their assets get devalued like the bank's assets did, mm-hmm. I mean, they're hit the same way. They're
sure.
The result of their problems, of AIG's problem, is no different from Merrill Lynch's problem.
Exactly.
Even though they're completely different businesses.
Right.
So, and I think now I know some insurance companies, Joan, who had a lot of money invested in Iceland.
Wow, that's
yeah.
not good.
No, that's right. And so there were some, I know some companies, there were some tense moments for a while there, right?
Yeah.
Until they got all that straightened out. Thankfully, I think they didn't have that much. But there's going to be higher capital and higher liquidity standards, right?
Right, which makes sense.
Yeah. And so that this is all going to be coming down the pike, folks. More watchdogs. You guys point out the another thing, Joan, that, and I think this is a good thing, the credit rating agencies. I mean, did they not just fail us? Didn't some of the current regulators, Joan, that had an obligation to oversee some of this, and didn't the credit rating agencies fail us in the last few years?
Only completely, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those guys have the credit rating agencies, Joan. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert on these guys, but it seems to me, how could they even have any credibility now?
I know. It's really kind of mind-boggling when you think about it.
So they're going to have more open decision-making processes,
right,
you guys say. Now, so Joan, but who's going to be the people to oversee all this, Joan? The government?
Well,
is that who's going to do this?
Right, that's the problem. The government, yeah, the federal government, will have to do this.
Well, let me tell you why this doesn't give me any kind of comfort, Joan. Because the co-conspirator in all of this, in addition to Wall Street, was Washington.
Well, that's right.
Our government was a completely complicit, ladies and gentlemen, and co-conspirator. Republicans, Democrats, mugwumps, independents—they were all the whole shooting match was complicit in what happened, and over a period of decades, Joan gave a wink, wink, and a nudge, nudge to all of this.
Right.
And so, folks, so once again, Joan, you know, we have this report here that you guys have given us, and it's a good mm-hmm. one. But why doesn't it make me feel better?
Well, I don't know.
I'm not finding a lot of comfort. I'm not finding a lot of comfort here, Joan. I'm actually feeling like what we've done is we've got new foxes and guarding new hens. You know.
Well, I think the federal government is finally stepping up and doing what it should have done all along, which is oversee some of this stuff a little better than it has been.
Well, yeah. I hope
you sound like you don't have a lot of faith in the federal government.
I don't have. I have very little faith in the federal. Joan, I've never been, and I haven't said this much, but I have never been more disgusted with our federal government than I am now as I look back. And again, Joan, I think it's important to point out, this is not a Republican or a Democrat issue.
Right.
This is a political class issue, Joan. I mean, there are plenty of people that you could line up against the wall and execute over this. If we did that sort of thing around here,
right.
But I mean, and it would be people on both sides of the aisle. I'm very disappointed, very disgusted with what's happened, because Joan, those people have allowed this to happen. It didn't have to happen. This is not what we're going through right now, Joan. Is not a normal economic cycle, like too much inventory buildup and we got to wash it through the system. When we've had those the last couple of times, Joan, they've been very light recessions. This is a man-made greed, incompetence, corruption thing that we're going through right now. That's what caused this, ladies and gentlemen. And on the next segment, I'll tell you what I really think about it. 29 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan. She got me on my soapbox. It's not my fault.
Oh, but it sure feels nice. Oh, I bet. reason why.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about regulations and what Kiplinger has to say about that. And Joan, one of the things that, and I like the way you guys cap this off at the end. I don't like what you say here, but I like the way you did it. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Together, the changes will bring more market stability. And then, of course, everybody knows I'm going to say a but here, right, John?
Yep.
But what's the rest of it, John?
But at a steep price.
And that is like the understatement, the Kiplinger understatement of
yeah.
the year. So tell us what it's going to cost us.
Well, one thing is costlier lending, which I'm sure is not a good thing for your listeners.
Yep.
We say some high-risk borrowers will still be cut out even after the recovery takes hold.
Would you like a report on that?
Sure.
I talked to a guy this last week who a very successful business owner, and he said that there's no reason why he shouldn't have had put this loan package together, and he said he did get it together. He did get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a lot more work than he should have had it should have taken, and it cost mm-hmm. him a lot more in fees than it should have cost him.
That's exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly. So, folks, when Kiplinger talks about these things, this isn't some esoteric philosophical debate here. This is rubber meets the road stuff is what we're talking about here.
Right.
What's the next one?
Added operating costs for financial firms to meet paperwork requirements. And you might say, well, why do I care? But the way I read this, if their operating costs are going up, who's going to end up paying those costs?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, and it's gonna hurt on both ends, Joan. It's gonna hurt on the pricing end, and it's gonna hurt on the expense end.
Right.
And
sure.
then on the pricing end, it's gonna hurt the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
On the expensing end, it's gonna hurt the suppliers that they do business with.
Yes.
In other words, there's not gonna be as much opportunity for the little guys, I think. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
And so it's gonna hurt both ways. And Joan, this is you know, like we needed another Sarbanes-Oxley, right?
Well, yeah.
And that's basically what this is, another layer of Sarbanes-Oxley. It's just really... what's going to irritate me about that, Joan, if they add new regulation that only puts extra teeth into laws and regulations that were already there that were not really fully enforced.
Right.
See what I mean? For
so,
example,
you know, enforce the laws first before you put more teeth into them.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So,
for example, Sarbanes-Oxley was put into place for about 8 or 10 guys that did some really bad things, when the truth is there were already laws on the books to get those guys, and every one of them went to jail for those laws that were in place before there was a Sarbanes-Oxley.
Right.
We have this tendency in this country, Joan, to punish the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
When the bad guys mess up, we punish the good guys. And this is some of what this is happening.
Yeah.
So what's the next one?
How come I have to read all the bad news? This isn't fair.
A big bill for taxpayers, all right? Now you go off, on it, Joan. A big bill for taxpayers.
Paying more regulators to track more activities. Well, I don't know how we get around that, because people seem to want more regulation right now. It's a matter of making sure that the pendulum doesn't swing too far, I guess.
Well, they got to pay for all this, Joan.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're and
right.
less profit potential, Joan.
Yeah.
So, less profit potential. Now, if there were profits being made manufacturing toxic assets, then I'm all for that. I'm all for that kind of restriction.
Right.
But Joan, we're going to go the other way. We actually have gone the other way in terms of our appetite for risk. Risk is passé right now, isn't it?
Yes. To a ridiculous degree, I think.
Yeah. It was ridiculous the other way. 70,
oh, sure.
Joan,
yeah,
they're talking 70-1 leverage, some of them. And I heard one guy explain. I'm talking about some of these toxic assets, folks, that were resecuritizing of securitized assets. Mm-hmm. I heard one guy explain it. He said on its face as a product, it was leveraged like 40-1. He said, but then you go out, you push it out to the counterparties, and he said, for every counterparty, you add that another layer of 40.
Oh, no. Oh, geez.
So he said it could have been like 800-1 or something like that. Something ridiculous. And that's the wrong way. And now the pendulum swung the other way, folks. And this has all got to wash through the system. And until it does, our small businesses are being impacted. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. But you know, I don't really care much, do I?
Don't you know that? You should know that. Life is a gamble all along.
Here's The Who bringing us back. Little pinball wizard.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball.
One of the best things they ever did. From the rock opera. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling here with our good friend Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan is, they have a website there at Kiplinger called Kiplinger.com.
Yep. Right.
Kiplinger.com, right, Joan?
We sure do.
Who would have thought it? And so, and then they've got these publications, folks, the Kiplinger Letter that we work off of every week, the flagship weekly letter that's been out since 1923 and still rocking after all these years. And they got five, Joan, or four biweeklies, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, the Agriculture Letter, and the Biofuels Letter.
That would be four.
That's four. Okay, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's right. And
being the tax letter, of course.
That's right. The fifth one is yours. The fourth one is the tax letter. And then, of course, then we have this magazine thing.
Right, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And you can get that at newsstands, and you can subscribe at the website.
Sure.
Don't forget to ask them for that 30-day free trial. Joan, let's move over and talk about...
We want to tell them about the toll-free number, though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's sorry.
Well, you know, I haven't done this much, so I'm still learning. Go ahead.
Well, our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
See, by doing what I did, I added drama, see, and effect, see. See, you thought I was doing that accidentally, didn't you? You thought I made a mistake.
I was mistaken.
You've lurched uncontrollably now to the effect here, Joan.
Nice save, yeah.
That's right. That's the story I'm sticking to.
Okay.
Joan, let's talk about the economy up here. The economy may no longer be in free fall. A bottom may be in sight. And the way I'm seeing this, Joan, is we still don't like the numbers, but we're starting to like the trend.
That at least the fall is decelerating.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it seems like. And I said earlier this week that I think I'm starting to see a tiny, tiny glimmer of a little peak of light at the end of the tunnel. That doesn't look like another train coming at us.
So how does that manifest itself?
Well, I'm starting to, you know, it looks like people are starting to make some decisions that are hopeful and not defensive, that are, you know, a little offensive, maybe not so much defensive.
Right.
And people are entertaining the idea of playing offense instead of defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked some other people, I've asked quite a few other people this week about that, and they seem to think so too. In fact, my report that I did Tuesday with Sam Norwood, with the Tatum folks, he does a monthly survey that he reports to us every month, and that had a lot of green arrows in it this week, Joan.
Oh.
And that report covers this month and the next 2 months.
Good.
So that was another one. I talked to a businessman on the show earlier this week that Joe Knight, I guess it was, who was saying he thought that things were improving a little bit. And so I'm just polling a few people and I think that's what's happening. Joan, just as we talked ourselves to some degree into a downturn, we can talk ourselves out of it.
Well, a lot of it is psychology. We know that.
Yeah. Joan, one thing you guys report this week is that we still have the commercial space, the commercial real estate thing that could be a bubble that we haven't really dealt with, isn't it?
Yeah, we say vacancy rates are headed up sharply in a lot of cities.
Well, I mean, with when you lay off that many people,
yeah,
Joan, $600,000-$700,000 a month for the last several months. What have we lost? About 4 million people.
Yeah.
In the last year or so, you lose that many people. That's a lot of cubicles, isn't it, Joan?
Sure. It only makes sense. Yeah.
That's a lot of Dilberts. That's a lot of Dilberts out there, Joan. And so. So there are people who say that we have not to try to throw a bucket of water on our little glad game here, Joan. But the commercial real estate's one of those issues that's still out there. And also there's a credit card thing, Joan, going on out there that's still an issue that we're going to have to deal with that.
Well, and I think you and I have talked about this. The thing that bothers me is watching people's credit get cut. Without their even knowing it, and without them even having any evidence that they would be a poor risk going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I don't understand. And also
fees, Joan, and extra fees that they're adding on the credit card companies. There's still a lot of as we say, folks, we don't like what we're seeing, but we're starting to like the trend. That's all it is. It's just a little teeny tiny thing that we're kind of happy about. Joan, let's talk about energy. Let's move on down and talk about what's the government doing with regard to energy? What's Congress up to these days?
Well, they're talking about a comprehensive energy bill that designed to, I guess, put us on the path to alternative sources of fuel. So what would that be, Joan?
What's an example? I mean, they're talking about wanting to cut the growth in electricity use, but how are they going to do that, Joan? That seems like an odd statement there, Joan, to me. To you guys say they're going to slow growth in electricity use. Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
How can you do that? How could they
do that?
Well,
we say offering programs to put on the brakes before they can get an okay, for new plants or transmission lines.
Yeah. But electricity use, I would think that they'd want to use more electricity, wouldn't they? The question is, to me, is how do you create that electricity? Where do you, how does it, how does it get built and how does it get distributed?
Right, yeah.
But, anyway, that's... It's going to, one thing about that, Joan, we have never had a national energy policy.
That's true.
Not really.
Yeah.
And I hope that we get one with the Obama administration. I'm just a little concerned about what it's going to look like.
Well, yeah, it remains to be seen.
Yeah. Well, especially in the area of how the Obama administration feels about carbon. And if the United States is going to wind up being harmed unnecessarily, and it not actually accomplish what they want to accomplish, I don't want my business to become become collateral damage, and all that, folks. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Never ending, are we drawn toward the source? Spinning at the mercy of an unrelenting force. So we stare into
the late, great Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen. I still miss him, but we still have his music, and as long as I draw breath and have a show, we'll be playing it. 7 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Nexus. That's the song, The Nexus, from the Innocent Age album. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, the auto industry keeps finding its way into the spotlight, isn't it?
Sure does.
GM,
unfortunately.
Joan, we had an episode here about a week and a half ago that, maybe it was this week, I can't remember, that just kind of blew me away. The president of the United States basically fired the chairman of General Motors.
Yeah, he told him, you need to go.
Now, Joan, that should give everybody in the marketplace a little bit of pause. And I'm going to tell you something. If this had been, regardless of which party had done that, I would have said the same thing. That is unprecedented.
Well, that's not necessarily true. At least from what I've read, tell me when it's happened.
Tell me when the president has fired a leader of a company.
Well, the analogy that was made, and I know it's not a good one, but the analogy that was made for me was President Reagan and the air traffic controllers.
No, that wasn't right. Those guys struck themselves. They left their jobs. Mm-hmm. That is not a good analogy. That's a completely bogus analogy.
Okay.
No, that's a wholly different thing. Because they left their job, they walked off, and they just weren't allowed to come back.
Right.
But this guy showed up for a meeting trying to do his job. Now, I'm not saying he's a great leader. I'm not saying he shouldn't go. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that the President of the United States shouldn't be the guy who decides that.
Well, the problem is nobody else had decided it.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, folks, on its face, on his face. That should give us all pause. But,
yeah.
Joan, what about Chrysler? Those guys are—they're kind of the stepchild in all the stepchildren. They're the biggest stepchild, aren't they?
Chrysler's been told, pretty much been ordered to make a deal with Fiat.
Yeah.
But and I think it's going to go. But and we call, in fact, we even say here it's an arranged marriage. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens
mm-hmm.
when those two companies come together. Because of course Daimler had owned Chrysler, and then that
right.
broke up.
Now, see, we have to remind people that Chrysler is no longer a publicly traded company. It's a privately held company.
Right.
So it's not owned by a lot of shareholders out there. It's owned by I've forgotten the name of the group, but anyway, there are bankruptcies waiting to happen out there, Joan. I mean, Joan, didn't we talked about this? I mean, I told people, I started talking about this back in November. I said, you know, October maybe. I said, organized, prepackaged bankruptcy is the way to go. And they spent billions of dollars putting it off. And little old, you know, when somebody like I can figure it out that far in advance, you know, they got a problem.
No, I agree with you on that.
Joan, let's, I figured you would.
Sorry.
Joan, let's move down and talk about the airline industry.
Okay.
Higher fees there, right?
Oh, gosh, yes. Higher fees, you know, bags, everything else. And you name it, you'll be paying for it.
Well, we travel, some airlines charge you nothing. I think Southwest charges nothing for your bags.
That ain't going to last.
But some of them charge for every checked bag.
Yes. Even
some only for some only after the first one.
The one I like is they charge for seats with more leg room.
Yeah, they have those.
That's
they
an
have
interesting
those.
One.
Joan, I guess it kind of makes sense because if I'm buying a ticket for $300 and I have no checked bags and I'm pretty low maintenance, and somebody else buys a ticket for $300. And they bring their whole family and 29 bags with them and a trunk and a dog and all that kind of stuff. I'm having to pay for the airline to take care of their services.
Yeah, but
so
by
in a way,
you're trying to encourage people not to bring everything on board and stuff it in the overhead bins. And that's not the way to do it.
Yeah, I know it. But it's a tough one.
On that one.
It's a tough one. The airline industry is they got a tough deal right now, and they create some of their own problems. Joe, mm-hmm. quickly, let's move over and talk about human resources. The Employee Free Choice Act.
This is
so-called,
a different soapbox. Get
yeah,
that
exactly.
Soapbox.
Yeah, that's next week. The so-called Employee Free Choice Act seems to be dead for now, right?
Yes, the so-called card check bill is
Thank
on hold.
God. No, card check is accurate, but the so-called Free Choice Act is the erroneously named Free Choice Act, but it's the same thing. But thank God, Joan. This is this bill, the unionization bill, is an assault on small businesses. It's nothing short of an assault on small businesses, and I'm glad that it's going to fail, at least for now. Last thoughts, Joan.
On what? On anything you want?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Oh, gosh. Okay, goodnight, Gracie.
I'll see you. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. She's senior editor with the Kipling editor. She'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.